which you stand and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So what is the gospel that Paul preached? What's the gospel that the Corinthians received? What's the gospel that was saving the Corinthians? And what's the gospel that the Corinthians held fast? Sure. He died, was buried, and was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Got it highlighted in blue right there. That's exactly it. That's the gospel. That's all there is to it, not much more. We've kind of done an overview of it. Where do you start with the gospel? It's hard to say. Well, just for purposes of picking a random starting point, we picked with Judas's betrayal of Jesus. He was seized by his chief priests and scribes. They declare him guilty, calling himself Son of God. He's handed over to Pilate and the civil authority for calling himself king. Pilate doesn't find him guilty, but he's afraid of the Jews, calling for him to be crucified. Jesus is crucified on Golgotha. His body is buried in a tomb to confirm his death. On the third day, the tomb's empty. He appears in the flesh to over 500 people to confirm his resurrection from the dead, and he ascends to heaven. So anyways, that's just gospel in a nutshell, or expanded from what we just saw, however you want to look at it. On the day of Pentecost, Peter is telling the faithful Jews that are there for that day in Acts 2, verses 22 through 24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. So last week, we looked at the mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through them, through him in their midst, and we also looked at those who knew who Jesus was. So that's kind of where we were last week. We looked at this Jesus that Peter says, you couldn't have missed him. He was right here. He did all this stuff around you, in front of you. So we looked at four wonders. I got chocolate for anybody who can tell me one of the wonders we looked at. Healed the blind man. There's one. We didn't look at any lepers. No. Wouldn't that have been cool? I should have. Uh-oh. Crystal got it. The running man. The paralytic who was healed. She got that one. She gets the special one because we even had an eyewitness show up for that one. Fed the 5,000. Fish and bread for 5,000. One more. No. No lepers. I wanted to put lepers in. Everybody says I should have. Matt talked about lepers. Yeah, we had a lot of overlap. His sermons on Sunday overlapped with what I talked about very, very much so, which is, it's good. It's a good thing that we're on the same page.
Oh, the blind. I said that.
The deaf man says the blind man. All right, one more. But possibly one of the... Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Possibly the greatest sign of them all. All right, so those are the four signs that we looked at. Signs, wonders. We looked at some stuff that he did amongst the Jews, not just out on a boat, not some way in a manger, things that they had to have seen. So, a question came up about the prophet. Some of these signs and wonders, when they saw him, some of the people said he must be the prophet. Bart brought up this question. So, Mike Wall, there's one for Bart for having an amazing question, and here's one for Mike, who says no attribution necessary, but I'm going to anyways. Mike sent me an email with a good study on who the prophet was. So I thought I'd share that with you because I think it kind of deals in here with it. So in John 6, 12 through 14, with the feeding of the 5,000, when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. And that's the question that Bart said. He saw that and he says, is this prophet, the prophet, seems to be a certain person that they're looking for. So, you know, it doesn't seem to be the Christ, it's the prophet. So that's what the study kind of looks at. So if you back up to Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, Moses tells Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. All right, so we got this verse. Many believe that Moses meant there would be a continuous line of prophets like himself. This was a belief that was common at the time of Jesus. This is also found in many commentaries today, some Christian, some Jewish. So this continues to, there are people today that still believe that this is what Moses was talking about. There's going to be a continuous line of prophets. So, based on that view, who would the prophet be? Just another servant of God. Just another guy with a message, right? Okay. That'd be good. Be just another guy. Just another guy with a message. Well, he's a very special man, but I don't want to demean it to say just another guy. But yeah, just like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Elijah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, yeah, Elijah's a good answer right there. That's who they would be looking for, you know. Habakkuk, I think that's Matt's street name, but don't let that out. Habakkuk, isn't that what he goes by out in the... No. Chewbacca. So, I usually tell the kids that, and they all laugh. So I don't know if any of them are ever getting back to him asking Matt if that's his street name. But anyways, yeah, it's just another one in a line of prophets. There's 12 minor prophets. There's, what, 6 major prophets? Plus the guys that show up through wherever. Anyways, that's kind of the rationale with that thinking. However, there was not a continuous line of prophets like Moses. At the time of Jesus, there hadn't been a prophet for hundreds of years. If you read the New Testament, it ends with what book? Malachi, I heard it. It was Wanda. Okay, Malachi's last book of the Old Testament. How many years of a gap is there between Malachi and Matthew 1 with he begat he and he begat he? 400 years. At least 400 years.
And how do you know that? Tell us how
do I know it's 400 years? It's not written in the Bible, but there are intertestamental books that, there are intertestamental books in between the Testaments that we don't count as the Bible that account for some of that. The Maccabees, I don't know. I also do know that the Jews are amazing timekeepers. They keep time still today based on what I've extrapolated it back to. I don't know what year one would have been for the Jews. Was it the day they left Eden? I don't know. But I know they are amazing timekeepers.
Better than the Swiss.
Better than the Swiss. I like that. It's not Swiss chocolate. Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. That's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't, I don't think the Bible says there's a 400-year gap from Malachi to Matthew.
But that's man doing that.
That's man doing that math.
Opposed to whether we think it's 500 years or 600 years or 400 years.
Let's go with hundreds of years.
That's man.
Yeah, it's, you're right. It's man. It's man. Yeah, we can give them credit for their historical account. Because, like you said, there's stuff going on now. Some of the things that where they tie times to is because they have a list of kings. Of this king served from here to here. And, yeah, what's their timekeeping? It's from, you know, new year to new year or whatever. Is it exact to the day? Some of it is not. Some of it is. Is it Daniel that's got a month and a day on a couple things? Of course, it's like the 15th day of Nisan or something like that. I don't know exactly what it was, but it's a month. I can't tell you what it is. But yeah, there's, you're right. It's not straight from the Bible. It's man's interpretation. It's things that have happened linearly along with it. If you want to look at the birth of Jesus, it didn't happen in 1 AD either. Jesus was born probably in, I'm saying, 2 to 4 BC. Is that correct? I think that's about the time frame they typically pick based on who was king and who wasn't king and stuff. So that would put him dying like 29 AD. So anyways, yeah, you're right. But there's this gap. There's this gap, and they didn't have a continuous line of prophets. So that's the problem with the theory that there would be a continuous line of prophets. Kaufman's commentary states that Jesus was the only prophet that was like Moses. He puts a couple things on there about both Moses and Christ forsook a palace to identify with men in slavery in order to redeem them. Both Moses and Christ were preeminently the only two great miracle workers of human history, and both were transfigured. That's the cream right there. That's some, you know, she's got some really good points. There's nobody else that was like Christ in any of those aspects. So, again, that's one guy's opinion. If we look at John 1, 19 through 21, and this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So the Jews asked John the Baptist who he was. Who did they ask him if he was? Elijah, the Christ. One more. The prophet. There you go. All right. So they're looking for this guy, the prophet, and they ask John the Baptist if he's the prophet. It's one of the names they ask him, but they also ask him if he's the Christ. So these seem to be two separate guys they're looking for. And they're looking for the prophet, and they're looking for the Christ. Kind of. Maybe if you don't think he is, you're probably ahead of me. So we'll get there. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, who did the apostles say that people thought Jesus was? And who did Peter say Jesus was?
Good.
All right, so some people thought he was a prophet. That's what they were looking for. And Peter said Jesus was Son of God. Okay. So he didn't say, I agree with them. He said, Son of God. So they kind of seem to be going in two different directions. Yeah, and that Son of Man thing, that's a whole study in and of itself. It is. But you're right. He's Son of Man, he's the Son of God. So John 7, 40 through 44, when they heard these words, some of the people said, this really is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. So, who did the people say that Jesus was? Some said he was the prophet. Was that Gary? Or was that Weldon? Look at that honest guy right there. All right. Some said he was the prophet, and some said he was the Christ. Okay.
I mean, it's staring me in the face.
Go for it.
This is kind of where I was yesterday, or last week. Some people say prophet, others said the Christ. And
yep.
It's that distinction that just kind of sticks out to me. Like, is there a difference between the prophet and the Christ?
Ah. In their eyes. You're right. That's exactly where we're going. There seems to be two lines, because people are saying, you're the prophet, you're the Christ, and they're arguing here.
Well, yeah, that was what happened last week in your lesson. Was yeah. We saw at least two sequential
not the Christ. Yeah, they only saw what they wanted to see. Yeah. So, John 7:45 through 52, we're getting there. I hate PowerPoint because it's so linear. But anyways, we'll get there. I promise. Mike did a fantastic job of this. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "No one ever spoke like this man." The Pharisees answered them, "Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, who had gone to him before and who was one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and hearing what he does?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee." So this debate of is he the prophet, is he the Christ, continues with these educated guys, and they declare themselves to be educated. They're educated. They missed that point, didn't they? When he took off for 2 years, yeah. They missed the point that he was from Bethlehem. But they claim to be educated. They are educated. I'm not going to take that away from them at all. But what task did they give Nicodemus? What task did the Pharisees give to him? Yeah. Well, that's the next question. Is it search and make and search and see that nobody came, or is it search and make sure that nobody comes? I kind of read it one way, and I think you're right. I think you see it right, and I saw it wrong, but that's good. Yeah, search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. So, yeah, he's saying that's he's not. They're learned men, but they don't. They want to make sure. I kind of looked at it as they were trying to make sure that nothing came out of Galilee, but you're right. Maybe they're looking at it and nobody came from Galilee. No prophet came from there. So John 5, 46 through 47. "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" So these are the words of Jesus. Who did he say wrote about him? Moses. Okay. It's probably not a big surprise, especially if you're as educated as the Pharisees. So, one of the places he wrote was back where we started. Acts 3, verses 22 through 23, Moses said, "The Lord God will rise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people." Acts 7, verse 37, "This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers." These two verses both quote Deuteronomy 18, 15. Peter quotes it in Acts 3. Stephen quotes it in Acts 7. As they're preaching Jesus, I didn't put the whole sermons that they gave, but as they're preaching Jesus, they include this, that Moses said about the prophet. So, I got Deuteronomy 18, 15 back on there. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." And John 6, 14, "When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." So, despite the many opinions then and now concerning who the prophet was and is, a proper understanding is that Moses was referring to Jesus the Messiah. So you're right, Bart. It looks like these people, some of them are looking for a continuous line of prophets, and they're looking for the prophet. Some are looking for the Christ, but they don't think it's the same guy. But when Christ starts saying, "Moses wrote about me," and you look at guys preaching about Jesus, and they mention the same verse about the prophet as they talk about the Christ, it's the same guy. But they might not have saw it that way. Steve?
It's funny that, you know, we can look at these scriptures and we can tell that Christ was the Son of God. Yet the debate continues today.
Sure. Yet there are many religions that give him credit for being a prophet, a great prophet, but don't go any farther than that. Won't look at him as the Messiah. Won't look at him as the end all.
So you have an account that, you know, you have Moses telling you right here in the Bible that this is the Jesus, the Son of God. There's no doubt there's many other places.
It's little pieces, picking it all up, putting it together. I'm amazed at the people who've done it historically, with the resources they had. The Bible was a banned book for till, I don't know, 1300s. It was banned. You know, unless you had great access to it, unless you were educated and stuff, wasn't no way you're going to touch that thing. It might have been passed orally here and there, but by and large, it's not like it is now. If you want one of these right here, take it with you.
Oh, you know? But we live in an area. There's a large segment where the Bible is banned.
You're right.
It's called Islam. It's probably the largest religion in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's banned in Islam. Some of those countries, punishable by death. I think China's still that way, isn't it? If you get caught with a Bible, I know you're going to go to prison. Still banned in a lot of places. It can't get into the hands of the common man. But, so how do these guys learn it? I'm amazed. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have studylight.org. They didn't have Bible Gateway. They didn't have copies laying everywhere. Didn't have on their phone and their iPad. You know, I can take, like, actually, as later in the study, I had four different tabs open on my browser so I could look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at the same account and try to piece it all together into one thing. Good luck on that with a book. You know, you're going to be flipping and back and forth. So it's a little easier. But take advantage of what I can. Weldon? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it can only point to one individual, and we can argue all we want to, you know, who this individual is. But the scriptures is very, very clear when you look at the characteristics of Jesus, that he meets all the criteria.
Jesus meets all the criteria. He is the Messiah. He's not a Messiah. He's not a prophet. He's not the prophet. He's the prophet, priest, and king, the Messiah. He's all that. And that's really what the whole point is anyways. We're trying to prove it to ourselves. Gene?
You know, Isaiah prophesies that Christ would be coming and that he would be crucified and judged, crucified, buried, and resurrected. And that was one of the prophets that they believed in.
Yeah, Isaiah was a prophet that prophesied his right. You're right. Isaiah prophesied his resurrection, his death on the cross, is the whole deal. And they believe Isaiah was the guy that did that. They just looking for another guy. That's what they're looking for. So that's kind of what we're looking for. This is kind of the whole purpose of looking at the gospel is just to unfold it. You know, all the little pieces there. As Christians, we're responsible for believing who Christ was. Was Jesus the Son of God? So we're looking for little pieces. Was he the Son of God or was he just a prophet? Maybe I don't present enough pieces, and I'll guarantee I don't present all the pieces. So, Bart?
I was just thinking, you know, like bigger picture, but when you sort of talk about what they were going through, they were so educated, and they were literally, they had everything in front of them. That we don't have today.
Mm-hmm.
And
they overlooked it.
Right. And I step back and I wonder, I'm just as shoeless today where I have the same opportunity to overlook something that God's trying to show me. Unless I'm aware of that, I could very well set myself up to miss something that is just right in front of me.
The guy.
Yeah,
some of these guys are—they're looking for it and they missed it.
Yeah. Well, it's a little scary to see how easy it is, but we sit there and talk about it. It's like we can't understand how could they have missed it?
How could they have missed it? That's what people.
We turn around and ask ourselves the same question: what are we missing because of our mindset?
We should
do that to ourselves. Is there something to learn just from that in itself?
We should continually continually ask ourselves.
Whether or not Christ was Christ.
No.
Don't do that anymore.
I have to know it for myself. I have to believe it for myself.
Yeah.
Not, Ed can believe all she wants and it won't get me to heaven. It's helped. I'll guarantee that. But it won't get me there. Mike? Sure.
And yet he went out and started the great persecution.
Yeah, you're right. He was right there. He saw it, and he started the great persecution.
What keeps me awake right now is that, you know, when we look at how they were overlooking things and how we're overlooking things, and the biggest thing that we're overlooking right now, especially in this country, is that we're grabbing God Himself out of everything.
You're right.
Every day there's another issue comes up that they're taking God out of the schools, they're taking God out of this, God off the money, God out of the Constitution next, I guess. And you know, if we as a Christian nation don't stand up, you know, pretty soon there won't be any more Christians.
It is. It's hard to keep God flowing through our kids and through our communities when, like you say, He's banned in a lot of aspects. He's not, some places He's banned, some places He's, I don't know, not socially acceptable. I don't know if that's exactly the right word, but I think it seems to be. But you're right. All right. So, from that point, is everybody pretty clear on who the prophet seems to have been and who the prophet should be? Thank Mike. Mike did a fantastic job with that, and I appreciate it, everything.
Thanks for taking the question.
Yeah, Mike did a great job with that, and I really think that's a big part of this lesson. Like you said, they saw him for a great guy, and they might not have saw him for the right guy. What are we missing? And there are probably people who are Christians, people who consider themselves Christians, that for the same thing. They don't really see him as the Messiah. They just see him as a miracle worker or something like that. Sue?
I think that there were a lot of people that were blinded because their other things were important to them than what God wanted.
Okay.
They, a lot of the religious leaders, at least, I think were more concerned about their power.
Yes.
Influence. Staying in control. They didn't want to lose power. And they had so much influence over the people because, like you were saying, there was no internet, there was no Bible to just read. The common man, at least, couldn't even read.
Yeah.
So these people had so much influence.
They had a
led people.
They had a tremendous influence, and you're right. And that's where we're going to go in a couple slides. Is some of that we've already looked at it last week. But yeah, the leaders had a tremendous influence, and they were afraid.
Some of us were born before the internet. Some of us were born before TV.
You're right. And the word still got out. God's words.
Yes.
You're right. You're right. There's some kind of influences in such a way that we don't see the truth.
You know, we have the same five senses that they did back.
We do.
Influence may have changed to a different, just something different, whether it's the internet or, growing up on a farm or being a fisherman. You're still using the same senses that it happens. And if we think that it won't happen to us, that's a great risk that we would individually suffer.
Sure.
And then as a church, we would suffer as a whole if we have groupthink.
Yeah. That's very true, too. The groupthink can get in the way. You're right about the five senses and stuff. Although we use a PowerPoint, and I put a scripture up there to make it easy, the questions are up there for anybody that can't hear real well. Can't find their, the lights are a little dim in here, and you can't read the fine print in the paper, on that onion skin paper. At least it's up there to look at. But other than that, we're looking at the same word that's existed for close to 2,000 years. Bart? I mean, let's go with Mike, then we'll go with Brent. Yeah. Yeah, Stephen's amazing. His message is really no different than Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. Peter says that message, and 3,000 and the men say, "What do we have to do to be saved?" And 3,000 were baptized. Stephen basically gives the same message. They stop in their ears, they rush him and kill him. But yeah. I can't stand it. Brent? That's true, yeah. If his prophecy is about him being a Christ, if you can't believe he's a great prophet, if you don't believe what he prophesied. Actually, when you follow up from Deuteronomy 18:15, it gets into, how do you know if it's a prophet from me? See if it comes true. If it doesn't come true, it's not from me. So that's kind of how it goes. Cindy?
In John 12, it talks about, it says that a lot of them believed, even some of the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they had not confessed their faith. For fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God.
Yep.
So it talks about how a lot of them did believe, but they just didn't want to.
They were afraid.
Yeah.
They believed, but they were afraid. Nicodemus was that way. He believed, was afraid. He shows up to bury him. Joseph of Arimathea was also on the council. He did the same thing. The parents and the blind guy, the Pharisees asked them, "Has he always been blind?" They're like, "Dude, we're not getting kicked out of the synagogue. Go ask him. He's old enough to talk."
To abide by the laws of the land as long as they don't conflict with the Word of God.
Yeah, as long as they don't come.
I always like what the Bereans did.
Yeah, the Bereans picked up their Bible and checked it out. They didn't have a Bible, but yeah, they searched the Scriptures.
And that's what we have to do when we have a biblical question.
Sure.
Or someone is talking to us about religious things. What does the Bible say?
What's the Bible say? It's the only authority we have. It's the only authority we have. So, yeah, search it out. So the plan, in John 11, 45 through 46, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. This happens at the end of the raising of Lazarus. Lazarus is probably the greatest, I don't know, maybe somebody could say it. I'll say it. It's probably the greatest wonder that he did. You know, I don't know. It's pretty amazing to feed all those people out of a kid's lunch. It's pretty amazing to heal blind people. He brought a guy back from the dead, a guy that he wasn't even in a hurry. You know, yeah, he's dying. I'll be there when I get there. Yeah, he's my friend, but I get there. And he brings him back from the dead. But after this, the people are starting to believe, but it says like that. Some believed in him. Some went to the Pharisees and told him what Jesus had done. I'm going to keep going. So the chief priests, in 47 through 48 of John 11, so the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered to council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come, take away both our place and our nation. This is what Sue was talking about a little while ago. They're afraid for their power, and they're afraid for their position. So how did the enemies respond to the raising of Lazarus? Did they believe that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead? And what was their fear? I already told you their fear. The fear was losing their cool status and jobs. Probably some cool robes and hats that went with it, too. So.
The main thing is that they said this man performed many signs.
Ah, they saw it.
They weren't arguing that it happened.
No, they're not arguing at all. Yeah, he healed some blind guys. He got some lepers to come clean. He healed that paralytic. The guy comes running in here like he's in a marathon. You guys saw him, right? Yeah. What are we going to do about this guy? He has got to shut up.
They believed, and said that he was capable of this, but they didn't really believe that he was, you know, God on earth. And could have, because that last little thing, they're worried about getting what they're losing. They didn't think that he could defend their place and nation.
Yeah.
Now, their place may have been from a religious perspective as, you know, I'm a Sadducee or a Pharisee or whatever, but the last part of the nation, you know, they've always looked for that earthly figure, mm-hmm. king, to lead them into battle and defend the nation.
Yeah. They were in borrowed land. Palestine was run by the Romans at that time. And you're right.
So they believed up to a point.
Up to a point.
That's it.
I don't know. What do you think he would have had to do to go to the next level? I mean, would he have to come in head and shoulders taller than everybody else? Kill 600 with a jawbone of a donkey? Yeah.
Without the benefit of
having a king. Yeah. He has such faith in God that he says, you can't kill me if you try. I can die on this cross, but it won't change the world your way. But I didn't see it. John 11:49-53, but one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. So who was Caiaphas? High priest that year. What was his prophecy? I should have put quotes around prophecy. What was his prophecy? Jesus is going to die. Amazing prophecy by a guy in control. So his prophecy and his position makes the rest of the council want to do what? Kill him. Yeah, great. We just saw him bring a guy back from the dead. We've seen all this great stuff. Yeah, we got to kill him. Matthew 26:1-5, then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. And they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people. So the plan is, let's arrest him and stealthily kill him. Does this one say stealth? Yeah, arrest him, Jesus, by stealth and kill him. So that's the big plan. We'll arrest him, he'll just disappear. That's the big plan. All right, this goes into the Jewish trial. Amazingly, I have 7 minutes for a trial that took all night. Yeah, we can get this done. All right, we'll kind of work our way through it. So the band of soldiers, John 18:12-14. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. So Annas was the high priest. He was appointed in 7 AD by Quirinius. However, in 14 AD, he lost his job because he killed a guy who broke the Sabbath. So when they took him down, five of his sons and a son-in-law, Caiaphas, became high priests for a little while. I tell you this great, amazing knowledge because it almost gets confusing on who the high priest is. Okay? So anyways, that's the position of this. John 18:19-21. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said. So Annas is on a fishing expedition. This is illegal in the courts of law in America. It was probably illegal in the court at that time. What was he arrested for? because they wanted him out of the way. He didn't really have a charge. He's in front of Annas. Annas doesn't ask him questions about evidence and stuff. He says, so why don't you just tell me the whole story? And that's basically what he says. And Jesus says, why don't you ask your spies? You had spies all over the place. They listened to every single word I said. Ask them. They know. John 18, 22 through 23. When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand. Is that how you answer the high priest? Jesus answered him, if what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. If what I say is right, why do you strike me? And that's really the first trial. He's in front of Annas. He goes about that far. The next trial, it's really one big trial, but it's kind of three different parts. Anyways, what I've got on here, I got Matthew and Mark, and they're parallel, and they're very, very similar. The Gospels are typically that way. Sometimes you'll find little bits and pieces the other ones don't have. Matthew 26, verse 57 through 60, I left out the part about Peter. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders had gathered. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death, but they found none. Mark 14, 53 through 55, and they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. So what they're doing is they're beating the bushes. Yo, anybody got anything to say about Jesus? Anybody got any kind of evidence? We've got to have something that we can put him down. I don't care what it is, just bring it on. And they don't find anything. Moving on to Matthew 26, Mark 14. Though many false witnesses came forward, at least two came forward and said, this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. And the version in Mark says, yet even about this, their testimony did not agree. So they came, had these guys that, yeah, I got his false testimony about him, but it was really outrageously crazy. He rode into town on a zebra. You know, stuff like this. It was just outrageous, and there was nothing they could do. But he did find two people that came up, said, I will destroy this temple that is made with the hands, and in 3 days I'll build another, not made with hands. Does that sound like something Jesus said? Almost. Almost. You could have fooled me with that one. It's just that close. John 2, 18 through 19. So the Jews said to him, what sign do you show for us doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. It's almost there. They almost heard it right. That's about as good as they could get. That's all the evidence they had. Moving on. And the high priest stood up and said, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew 26, 64, Jesus said to him, you have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. This is the same confession we make when we put on Christ in baptism. He's the Son of God. Exactly the same thing that he says right here. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? And the council says, he deserves death. Then they spit in his face and struck him. Some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? It's kind of just a little while ago, people were praising him for doing amazing miracles. Now they're spitting at him and hitting him with their hands. The trial goes into the next morning when the sun comes up. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. So the Jewish council ties him up, and they carry him over to the Roman governor, Pilate. So Pilate went outside of them. What accusation do you bring against this man? In John 18. They answered him, if this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. Pilate said to them, take him yourselves, judge him by your own law. Jews said to him, it's not lawful for us to put him to death. So Pilate said, what are you bringing him to me for? If you got a problem with him, deal with it yourself. And they're like, no, we're not allowed to kill him. So that ain't good enough for us. Luke 23, verse 2, they began to accuse him, saying, we found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ the King. See how this kind of stuff goes? They didn't have any kind of charge against him when they arrested him. They bring him in the courtroom. The best they can come up with is some liars and somebody who misheard him about rebuilding the temple. They're looking for people to lie about him. They can't even do that. They said, you know, he's got to die. So they took him over to the Romans. And the Roman guy says, what do you got against him? And they're like, if he wasn't up to something bad, we wouldn't have brought him here. And they finally go ahead and say this. They give him, they accuse him of sedition. We found this man misleading our nation, forbidding us to give taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is a Christ, a king. That's the charge they came up with. Did you see that anywhere else before? No. It's a last-ditch effort, because they know he has to die. You want to see something unfair? You've just seen it. If you've seen bigger injustice today in your life, have my candy. It might help, but I doubt you see anything worse. So, where do you go from there? Next week on the Serial Gospel, we're going to hopefully look at the trial of the King of Jews, which would be the Romans, the civil trial. I had originally said we'd look at the crucifixion, but I think we'll go on with the civil trial next week, then the crucifixion, then the resurrection. Unless my time ends, then you got to look for it yourself. All right. Thank you all. Who didn't get chocolate? Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hit you with that hard. Oh, you got Herbert in the head.